Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design evening chat for the 23rd day of August, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan. There is no specific topic. It will be an open forum that we will, of course, allow everybody to express their own opinion. Hopefully, some of the new folks I met on Telegram will be joining us here in a little bit. They seem to be very curious about the identity message. They've all pretty much been a year or less in the message, and so they have lots and lots and lots of questions, and hopefully we have lots and lots and lots of answers, but we certainly can work as a team. As it says in Scripture, in the council of many there is victory, and I'd like to think here at By Yahweh's Design we've got some of the best counselors around. Lots and lots of experience and research and talent, and gone down many, many rabbit holes for an awful long time. So I'm trying to think. I had a little bit of a medical issue on Sunday night. So nothing, it turns out anyway, it was nothing serious, but it could have been. So I'm going to give a word of caution, especially to you folks over the age of 60. But it would also apply to down as low as 40s and 50s, if you think about it. But we've talked about health issues on this channel quite a bit and over the years. And here lately, because of different things they're doing with the spraying of our atmosphere, the aerosol sprays, the poisoning of our food and water, also the microwave energy that they're bombarding us with. On top of all that, you've got the fact that as you get older, you're more susceptible to injury and having problems if you don't stay on top of your game as far as your diet and hydration and things like that. And that's pretty much what we can guess happened to me on Sunday night. A couple things happened, but one of the key factors was I was slightly dehydrated. And down here in Florida, especially with as hot as it's been for 2 to 3 months across most of the United States, you sweat more than you think. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm not sweating because your shirt's not soaking wet, but you're still giving off water vapor to stay cool. And even as you breathe, you're going to breathe out water vapor all day long. So it's very important to hydrate, especially during these hot seasons and this hot, probably climate-controlled environment, geoengineering that's going on by the nefarious cabal. So pay attention to your diet, especially the liquids. Now, when we say hydrate, you don't hydrate with soda pop, Diet Cokes, alcohol. No, they may be liquids, but they don't hydrate you. You've got to have pure water, and your water should have minerals, especially the electrolytes in it, if you want to get the most benefit from the water. And if you want to have that water go in and do its proper job as far as hydration. A little bit of baking soda is also good in your water, as it has minerals, but it also lowers the, I should say increases the pH towards the alkaline side. And that's very important because our diets today are extremely acidic. And so you need to counterbalance that. You're either going to have to eat an awful lot of greens, which are typically alkaline. Some fruits are alkaline, or alkalized water. And if you don't have alkalized water, then a cheap, easy fix for that is baking soda. Putting baking soda in it will make it go up higher on pH and help you alkalize your body. But that's the biggest note I've got, because there's still a lot of different information going around is what's happening in Hawaii, what's happening in Washington, D.C. We've got people talking about white hats. We've got people talking about black hats. A great reset on the good side, great reset on the bad side, and it just seems to never end. And yet, when you take a look at on in the world, it looks like we're still circling the drain, going in a downward direction. So either we rise up and say no and put an end to this nonsense, or we have to have intervention by our father here to help out and put this cabal in the dirt where they belong and restore Yahweh's law and order upon this earth. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here to see if anybody's got anything. We'll start with Ella and then Kumri if he has anything. But Ella, did you have anything you wanted to bring to the folks tonight?
Oh, just mainly that what I told you before we went on is people don't understand, you know, particularly what I think it's Luke 21, 26 says that people's hearts failing them for fear of the things that were coming on the earth. I told you I sent you these links by this gentleman that told us about 5G and megahertz and gigahertz and all that kind of stuff and made me understand precisely what's going on. They have our eyes focused on the sky. That's what they want us to do. They want us to look at DOES or direct energy weapons as coming from their technology that's doing all this burning and everything, but that's false. The guy said something like, with the technology they have, if they used the DOES and had to use the amount of energy it took to produce a DOE, they could not even light a candle now with what they have. And if they did, at the time they did it, we would not be able to communicate by phone. Planes couldn't fly. We wouldn't be able to watch television or anything because there'd be so much interference. So a lot of the things that are going on now are, I think, directly preparing us for what Ronald Reagan talked about many years ago. He said, now, wouldn't the world all come together if we knew that something from outer space was coming in and an enemy was going to attack us? Wouldn't we all put together against a common enemy? Well, I think that's where the bottom line of what they are planning to do now. Because I know maybe about 35 years ago, I read something called The Report from Iron Mountain, and it was a report on what the government would do in the case of peace. Because our world, they can control us as long as we are at war with somebody. They have the military, they get the extreme high budgets to increase our taxes by using war as an excuse. But what happens if there was no more war anymore? How would they control the people? What would the military do? I mean, they'd be out of a job. So what one of the final things that they have, well, one of the things was climate change and global warming. All those are farces to keep our eyes on what's going on in the world and causing us to fear and imagine things and believe all their lies. But the bottom line of the whole thing was, if all else fails, what they're going to do is fake an alien invasion to make us all come together. But we'll see what happens. But I think that's what the bottom line is, what they're working up to with all of this technology that they're using. One day we're going to see one hell of a fantastic lights in the sky show like Hollywood would produce. So we have to be aware of that. Okay, I'll yield.
Yeah, that Luke 21, starting at 25, the coming of the Son of Man, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, anxiety of nations, in perplexity for the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things which are coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen to that. Go ahead, Kumri.
The only thing I would add is I believe they do have the energy capabilities to do these direct energy weapons. And the person, and I don't think Eller said mentioned who did it, but the article that said that we don't have the energy capabilities, they're probably not thinking that the government has the technology and the blueprints for Tesla's infinite energy capabilities. They can easily use as much energy as they want without us ever realizing where they're getting this surplus energy from. And that's probably how they're pairing their new and advanced HARP, because the original HARP is defunct. They have upgraded HARP to a brand new system name. I have no idea what they're calling it now. I just call it the new HARP, the way they can control these weathers and do these direct energy attacks is by utilizing the Earth's free energy. And that way it won't ever affect the grid. And then you can have the media saying, oh, well, these are clearly hoaxes because we don't have the energy capabilities and yada, 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 because the media and other people aren't taking into account that when they use these type of high-powered weapons, they're not using the energy from our current grid system.
Oh, the good points, Jeremiah. I'm impressed. I know I started out learning about HARP and its system. If people are listening in and you don't know what we're talking about, it's HAARP. And it's from a book by Nick Begich, B-E-G-I-C-H, from 20, 30 years ago, that his book said, Angels Don't Play This HARP. It tells all about the HARP system, which is mainly when he first wrote it was about this system in Alaska where they could send waves up to the ionosphere and they'd bounce back and be able to change our weather and things like that. And there's a lot of bad stuff with that. I don't know. I haven't updated my knowledge on the technology that Nick Begich came out with. But I know there's a lot of things that I don't understand yet. And I'm really impressed that you at your young age know about this stuff. That's you're your father's son. So I'm really impressed. It's good to think about, too, because I don't know anything about this power stuff. I know you take an electric socket and plug it in to get electricity for a lamp. That's about as much as my knowledge goes in that. Medical, a lot more, and Bible, a lot more. So I'll take your word that you know about that stuff, and I'll do some research on it, too, and see what we can come up with sometime soon. Thank you, Jeremiah.
Yep. By the way, that book, Angels Don't Play This HARP, Advances in Tesla Technology by Gene Manning and Dr. Nick Begich. There is a PDF available of that, so if you have a difficult time finding it or affording it, contact us and we'll see what we can do to hook you up with a PDF copy of it. But I interviewed a guy that wrote a book that was on HARP. I think his last name was Smith. I can't find a copy in my index here of his book, but I interviewed him, and it's in the archives. I could make it available if anybody wants to listen to it, because it was quite some time ago, about over 20 years ago. But he gave me a copy of his book, and I read it, and it was talking about what HARP was and what he determined it was being used for, where they got the power for it, because each HARP station had its own nuclear power plant. And I do know nuclear power plants can put out anywhere from 700-800 to over 1,200 megawatts. That's 1,000,000 watts of energy. That's a lot of power. So what they're using today, as Ella said, we don't know what I don't know what they call it today. The old HARP, I do know, has been abandoned, and the new one is using new technology. All we know for sure is that they're up to no good and doing all kind of nefarious things with the technology wherever they got it, and they're not our friends. They're not trying to make this world a better world for everybody on it. That's the part we do know. The scriptures call man-made governments beasts, and collectively all of man-made government as the beast, because like a roaring lion that goes around looking for prey, these man-made governments look for prey amongst us to enslave us, to kill us, to use us for adrenochrome, you name it. I mean, they just look at us as a bunch of cattle in a field somewhere to be used and abused at their pleasure. So that's the main crux. You know, we don't know all the inside details, at least I don't, and we don't need to know the details. You can see the empirical evidence all around you that there are evil people doing evil things on this world. And it's time for righteous people to stand up and say, no more of this bullshit. It's time to put an end to this garbage. How many more innocent children and women and our men need to die in useless battles and stuff like that for this New World Order crowd? I mean, come on. It's time to put an end to it. Okay, I yield. Anybody got anything else? Any other news item?
I did read something recently. I think it was yesterday or the day before on something I saw on the internet that one of the things that they are doing for this New World Order is they're trying to get rid of some of Yahweh's laws. And one thing that they're really pushing, because most of the people, the powers that be that are running the New World Order type of thing, they're all pedophiles. So what they're trying to desperately do now is normalize it and make it legal. And that's why they're doing all this gender transformation through trannyhood and legalizing homosexuality to make it all sound like whatever you do with anybody, it's okay, because it has nothing to do with Yahweh or God, whether male or female or adult or child or whatever. So whatever, you know, like Satan, I think it was Aleister Crowley came out with, do what thou wilt. If it feels good, do it. And that's the basic, what they call Satanism. They're worshiping a non-entity. They're worshiping evil. And pedophilia is absolutely evil. They're trying to kill our children. They're trying to use our children as objects of sexuality or ways to curb their desires or fulfill their desires for the abnormal. And what we have to do is remember that Yahweh has the rules. Those are the ones we go by. They're the Ten Commandments. They're in the Bible. They're in there. They're kind of hidden in a way, but we should understand them and know them. And I'll tell you, I'd say maybe 20% of Christians could actually tell you what they are, really. I'll yield.
You're talking about the Ten Commandments?
Yes, right.
Oh, okay. Well, Most people today don't know squat about the most important documents that for us, our existence here in the United States anyway, which would be, first of all, their Bibles. They don't read it. They don't read much of anything, but they certainly don't read their scripture. They don't do any kind of research and dive into it. They also don't know the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. I can guarantee you they don't have a clue what's in their state constitutions, which are much more explicit about our rights than the federal generally is. You get all this arguing about the Second Amendment. I've looked at probably 5 or 6 state constitutions about the Second Amendment, and it's very clear in the state constitutions, at least the states I looked at, no debate whatsoever what the Second Amendment was talking about. So only at the federal level, that's why they want to keep it at the federal level, because it's nebulous enough that you can argue about it at least a little bit. But when you look at many of the state constitutions, it's as plain as the nose on your face, the intent of the Second Amendment. And many of the other amendments, because they're written in much more plainer English and much, much easier to understand. So we have a lot to clean up. The good news is cleaning it up is just simply a matter of implementing Yahweh's law, making Yahweh's law the law of the land once again, and enforcing it, which means white guys in particular got to lead the charge. There may be some people that are non-white that assist, but our guys have to be in charge, and we have to... We have to decide we need to clean this world up. We're not going to take any more of their bull crap. And not going to put up with any more of this criminality and nonsense, and we're going to protect the innocents. Scripture says it over and over and over again that the innocent, meaning the widows and orphans, that's the most innocent people on your in your society, they are the most vulnerable, and they are the ones that the righteous men are supposed to protect. So if you're not protecting the children, the orphans, and the widows, and the ladies amongst us, if you're not protecting them,
what good are you?
Okay. Can you mute your
mic here, Charles?
Or put a headset on? Okay, very good. Thank you. That way, if you want to jump in, you can just unmute yourself. But there's too much feedback coming through your microphone.
Right.
Go ahead, Charles, if you had something.
No, I just wanted to say thanks. I'll be muted until I got something to say.
Okay, good enough. Yeah, a little bit of feedback. That's why I have a headset myself on, because unless you have a system that's set up for it, when your speakers, instead of going into your ears, when the speakers are putting the sound out into the air around your computer, unless you have a directional mic or a mic that's can cut out background noise, that feeds right out of the speaker right back into the mic. That's why you get that echo loop going. So you have to have what they call a directional mic, which is you got to speak directly into it, and that helps block out any background noise or background noise filters in your electronics and things like that. So word of wisdom there for people that are part of this show and many other shows. The Patriot community is growing like crazy. There's all kind of truther platforms now. There's all kind of platforms talking about the mainstream church and how it's let us down. Of course, the government's let us down. The medical mafia has let us down. I watched a very good interview of a nurse talking about her road to discovery, the epiphany she went through, and she is now a nurse practitioner only in the area of naturopathy. She's left medicine because of what she saw happen during the whole nonsense of what they call COVID, which is a non-existent virus. But what she talked about, what she saw in California at the hospital where she worked and at the other California hospitals where all her friends worked, was very similar to what we saw, like in Philadelphia and New York, and people I knew that went to Pittsburgh and like Cleveland, Toledo, St. Louis, and Atlanta, all these different cities, the hospitals were empty. And she said that was one of the things that woke her up. You know, they did all these prep. My daughter's a nurse. She went through the same thing. All the preps that they made everybody go through, and then there was nobody there. Which I remember when this started, I pointed out to people, I said, they're showing you pictures of tents and hospitals, but there's nobody there. That shows you the IQ level of the American people. Right there on the screen, you could see the image of the hospital, and there was nobody there. But the talking head was telling everybody that there's a rush on the hospital, they're swamped, and all this stuff. But the picture showing the entranceway of the hospital and all these tents and everything, there's nobody in them. So we have this cognitive dissonance to where we didn't even notice when it's right in front of us that they were lying. Same thing with the mandates that came out. We talked about that. There were all kind of exemptions in there. People had enough balls to force the mandates and use them when they went to a restaurant or to a store or whatever, but nobody did. We truly have become a nation of sheep, docile, fluoride-saturated sheep that are just no fight left in them. It's like the old farmer used to say, I'm going to have to take that dog out into the woods and put a bullet in him because there's no fight left in that mutt. All right? And that's our people today. There's no fight left in that mutt. I guess our Heavenly Father is going to take us into the forest and just dig a hole and put us in it, because what the hell are we here for? What are we doing? We're dumber than rocks. We don't want to fight anything. We don't want to resist. We don't even want to think. We don't want to even do a modicum of investigation into any topic. We're pretty tragic, really, the state, especially of the white race today. It's tragic. Ella, go ahead. Hand up.
Okay. I'll take my hand down. Okay, what you're talking about, too, is basically because we are electronically socialized. Nobody believes anything unless they see it on TV. If it's on TV, it's the gospel truth. And if you watch television, you'll notice lately that there are a lot of interracial marriage and couples there. If you see courtroom scenes, who is behind the bench judging all these things? 9 out of 10 times, it's a black woman. And then there's also, you have these weak women, silly women who have husbands that don't know their tail end from their top of their head. They're portrayed to be totally stupid. The families have the kids running wild and not obeying a doggone thing anybody says. And then to show the gun thing, they have these women saying, oh, I won't have a gun in the house. My children might get a hold of it. Well, don't let your children get a hold of it. Years ago, if we told our kids not to touch something, if they touched it, they got a strap across the ass. Well, we can't do that anymore because we'll get in jail or get our children taken away from us from Child Protective Services if we even harmed little darlings. So we're not only socialized by television, but they're changing the whole world due to the way their rules are going by. And as for the medical system, what I've learned from my experience of being a nurse for many years, it has totally turned upside down. And, you know, bringing this up, I wanted to ask Jeremiah some questions. I don't know too much about naturopaths or what he does or anything. What would be, Jeremiah, what would your advice be for people to do to maintain their health for the most part in today's world? I'd love to hear you talk about that. I'll yield.
Well, at least from what I've seen, the biggest factor that I see for the degradation of people's health is they are consuming an abhorrent amount of sugar. If they were to just reduce, not necessarily eliminate, because not everyone can go cold turkey, and it does take a lot to cut sugar out, because sugar acts on the same sections of the brain that cocaine does. When you get addicted to cocaine, it's actually easier to get off of cocaine than it is sugar, with how addictive sugar is, and because sugar is so abundant. But it affects the same parts of the brain.
Wow.
So what I would tell people is, if they could just slowly wean themselves off sugar and then go after the major culprits, like, okay, let's say you are a 2 liters a day of soda. Okay, well, try to go down to 1 liter a day, and then try to go down to maybe 2 cans or whatever until you can go no soda. That's one of the biggest factors of people's health is soda, not only because of the chemicals in soda and the additives, but soda has an amazing amount of sugar in it. For instance, a bottle of soda is roughly around, I believe it's 12 ounces. In that one bottle, you're already at 78 percent of your daily intake of added sugars. And most people are drinking more than just one tiny bottle they get at the store. They're drinking, well, because that's like, what, 12 ounces? And then if you get a large soda at a fast food restaurant, those things are like 30-some ounces at times. So right there in one meal with one large drink, you're already at like 200% of your daily added sugars. And that's not factoring in the sugar in the food, the sugar in anything else. That's just the soda. So I would say most Americans every day are probably consuming 300 to 400% of the added sugars, which is, you know, just sugars added. That's just not, that's not even the total sugars they're consuming daily. So that I would say is the number one health issue people can work on fairly easy. Because I'm not telling people, hey, you got to buy organic, you got to only eat organic, and blah, blah, blah. Just slowly cut down on your sugar, and I can guarantee that your life will be much better. There's already many, many studies out there that show that overconsuming of sugar affects your mood. It affects sleep. It causes insomnia, causes depression. It causes a plethora of anxiety. Prolonged term, it's going to cause a bunch of liver problems. Because a lot of people seem to forget, how do you make alcohol? Well, the only way to make alcohol is fermenting something with sugar content. Why? Because alcohol is quite literally concentrated sugar. And we all know what happens to the liver if you drink a ton of alcohol. Now, the only reason sugar doesn't kill the liver right away, unlike alcohol, is because alcohol is extremely potent. But the liver processes alcohol the same way it processes sugar. And that's why we have such a thing as non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Well, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic, fatty liver disease is only caused by one culprit, and that's too much sugar. And and all your liver diseases is pretty much the same, almost all of them are the same thing. It first starts as maybe you get a sluggish liver or fatty liver, okay? Whether it's alcoholic caused or non-alcoholic caused, it starts as fatty liver. And if you don't take care of it, the liver keeps trying to process all this sugar. And if you're drinking alcohol on top of sugar, that's a double whammy. It's trying to process all this sugar that it was never designed to do. It was designed to process some, but not every day, 500+% you know, of your daily sugar every day, it starts to get tired. Now, doctors can label this any fancy name they want to. All it means is when you develop, I want to say it's second stage or third stage liver failure, it's actually called cirrhosis of the liver. All that means is the liver is getting really tired, it's not able to do its proper job, and it's literally backfiring, and it's slowly, people could say it's dying, but it's starting to fail. Then you get to pretty much stage four, which is also called end-stage liver failure, in which the doctors like to say organs fail. I don't believe an organ fails. God doesn't make a body that fails. God doesn't make junk. He doesn't F up and make something that can fail. Your organs don't fail. What happens, at least this is how I look at it, the liver doesn't fail. It's getting tired. It's stressed out beyond belief. It needs to take a nap. The only problem, as we know, with many of our organs, they can't take a nap. If they do, we die. They don't fail, they're just so stressed, they need to rest, and if you don't let them rest naturally, they're going to take a rest on their own, and the only problem with that is you die if your heart takes a rest, if your kidneys take a rest, and if your liver decides to take a nap. You die. They don't fail, they literally did their job to keep you alive, and they tried to adapt to your lifestyle the best they could. All these diseases, including failure, is just the natural outcome of the organ doing its job to the best of its ability until it finally becomes so, fatigued that it decides to pass out. Even if it passes out for a few minutes, that it doesn't matter. You're done.
That's amazing. Thank you for that. Wow. And that goes hand in hand with one of the biggest things this country has, too, along with sugar, it's obesity. Wow.
Yeah.
You opened my eyes to a lot of things. Thank you, Jeremiah.
Oh, you're welcome. And that's the other thing that people do not understand. The leading cause of almost all of our problems in America is sugar, including obesity. People think, oh, well, if I cut my calories or this or that. Not necessarily. Calorie counting, one, is already proven to be false. It was made up, I forget who came up with the theory, but it was never actually proven that counting calories had anything to do with either weight loss or weight gain. Now, it's a good start for people wanting to get healthier. They can start to count the calories if they like. But the biggest factor is watching your sugar consumption, because sugar, when you're taking in 200% of your daily account, the body takes anything of excess and throws it into fat storage. It does it mainly with sugar. If you eat a little too much of your lipids or your fats or proteins, the body can actually utilize them or can, you know, flush them out. For some reason with sugar, it cannot do that. It will not just flush it out. It'll store it into the fat until you can exercise it off or burn it by actually doing something. Instead of being couch potatoes like most Americans, you have to do something to get the body to burn up that excess sugar that's stored in the fat cells. The other problem is a lot of people think, well, okay, they might know that sugar's bad, so they go to drinking Diet Cokes or Diet This or Coke Zero That. Well, that has aspartame in it. The problem there, other than it being a very dangerous poison, is the body cannot process aspartame because it's a fake sugar. So what does it do? It just puts it into the fat cells, and that's why you see people are fatter when they go sugar-free, because this sugar, this fake sugar, is instantly put into the fat cells. Not a gram of that stuff is turned into energy because it's a foreign substance. The body doesn't know what to do with it, so it throws it into a fat cell because it can't use it.
Wow. I also know, too, that aspartame, from what I found out years ago, is actually the remains of the digestion of bacteria, which is actually fecal matter. So people think about putting aspartame in their drink, they're eating bacteria crap.
Maybe that's why it gives them a headache.
Right. Another thing that results from eating too much sugar, too, is pancreatitis. That's also a fatal thing. Your pancreas quits on you, you die. It's secondary to the heart for a valuable organ. If you have cancer of the pancreas, your prognosis is maybe 6 months at the most. And yep. Obesity has a lot to do with that, too, that like what Jeremiah was saying, that cut down on sugar and that'll automatically make you lose weight because your body is relaxing. It's getting a chance to metabolize the way it should. And I know in the past 5 years, my life has changed because I've lost a lot of weight. And that makes you feel so much better, because when you're fat and chunky, you feel depressed and yucky. You don't feel like doing anything. And it gets to be a vicious cycle that you get fatter and you don't exercise, which makes you sit and you eat more sugar and get fatter, and just goes on and on and on until you eat yourself to death. So, Jeremiah, thank you so much for that. That's a great start for anybody that wants to start living again. Cut out the sugar. That's step number one to having a healthier life. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Oh,
cut out the sugar and increase your consumption of pure water. Pure water with the minerals in it. If you drink and distilled water, you've got to add your trace minerals. And you can buy them. You can buy liquid trace minerals and just add a few drops to your glass of water and you'll get your minerals. And it makes the water taste better. So if you want to use D-Min water because it's absolutely pure, but you got to add some minerals to it because there are minerals in D-Min water. But pure water is something else, the cheap and easy change that everybody could make. So I would put that in there with what Jeremiah was saying. Cut out the sugars and increase the pure water and stop drinking these other fluids, like too much coffee and soda pop and all the rest of them, because those are not pure water. So a lot of people say, well, I drink coffee and orange juice, and I have 6 cans of diet soda, so I'm getting plenty of fluids. Well, no, you're not. You're getting liquids in your system, but those aren't pure water, which is what the body needs to process and defend the body, and to keep it healthy, it needs pure water. It does not need Mountain Dew and Sanka coffee and all this other garbage that people chug-a-lug and energy drinks, which are atrocious to your health. So that would be two things to start with.
It said, too, that if I read when you went through that episode on Sunday, I looked up some of that stuff. And a piece of advice would be, if you drink a glass of water, a large glass of water, it increases your body absorption greatly if you just add a pinch of sea salt to the water, and that will help your body absorb it. And if you're drinking diet sodas and things like that, your body's start taking it as a toxin that you're putting in your body. So what your kidneys start doing is working overtime to get rid of the toxin. So the minute you put the water in, your kidneys are going to excrete it because it doesn't want it in your body and your cells aren't absorbing it. So you're going to become just as dehydrated with a can of soda as if you didn't drink it at all.
Right. And as usual, what everybody thinks is happening is not what's actually happening. Everything is backwards. You know, like we think the government's protecting our rights when actually they're working night and day to destroy our rights. They think the medical profession wants us healthy when that's a complete lie. They just want to treat symptoms, and the sicker we are, the more money they make. So they have no incentive for us to be healthy. And it just goes on and on and on, you know. So it's incredible. Okay, I yield. Anybody have another topic they want to cover?
Can I jump in?
Sure, Charles.
Sure, Charles. Go ahead.
Thank you. On Kumri, you're a very talented young man. Pleasure to hear you outline these areas of such importance. I'd only add that on the sugar thing, I think a lot of people are addicted to instantaneous gratification, and they just want to buy the cold can of pop and drink it now. If they can get over to the different section of the grocery store where lemonade and apple juice and orange juice are natural sugars with pure cane sugar in it. See, a lot of what is causing damage with sugar is it's refined sugar. It's not in balance with nature. And so if you can get people away from that soda pop with the white sugar that doesn't have any of the mineral with it that causes a lot of the problems, if you can get them over to just going to a different section of the grocery store where the juices are at. There's some juices like Simply Lemonade or Simply Apple Juice that's not even from concentrate and has pure cane sugar in it. And that is a monumental improvement getting away from soda pop. And all you got to do is go to a different section of the grocery store and grab a type of juice like that, preferably not from concentrate, like can happen. You can get from a company called Simply Orange Juice. It's a Florida company. I really like that company's juice. But a lot of it is from concentrate. And if you're going to go that route, you can also just buy the concentrate yourself and save more money and use your purified water and not add any sugar, or maybe just a little bit of honey, which is a natural sugar. And so at that point, you're really getting away from the white refined sugar addiction over to a much more healthier type of way of feeding. Like you said, a cocaine addiction is just a different type of addiction, but you can slowly wean yourself away from it without a whole lot of trauma by just changing a lot of your food consumption habits. I yield.
Right. And I've noticed the improvement in my health and everything when I did what Charles was talking about, switch from using white refined sugar to using pure cane sugar, organic cane sugar. And by the way, a lot of people don't know it, but you can tell a lot about what's going on in your body. And a lot of people think it's gross to talk about it, but it's true. And if you care about your health, you should be able to hear it and not get triggered by it. But paying attention to your going to the bathroom, your number one and number two, a lot of people might find that strange. But if you examine by visually looking, you can tell from what comes out of your body what's going on the inside of your body. And case in point, when it comes to sugar, and I've proved this myself, if you're eating white sugar, when you go number one to the bathroom, you're going to find huge bubbles in the water, lots of bubbles, and they'll be very big bubbles. That is a byproduct of the yeast, the candida, and everything that's consuming the sugar in your body, and they generate those bubbles. If you eat foods with natural sugars or organic cane sugar is added, you will find that there's almost no bubbles whatsoever in the bowl. So again, there's books written about this. Some of them are kind of comical, I think my dad and my mom had it sitting in the bathroom by the toilet, and it was something about checking out your poo, and it was something you could read while you're sitting there, and they made light of it, and it was kind of comical to read it, but it was basically saying the same thing. Here are the things you need to look for that a healthy person, when they go to the restroom, this is what should be coming out of the body. And if it's not, and you see these things, then they are indications that something's wrong. Just like you can check your car by hooking an analyzer up to the tailpipe and you analyze the exhaust gas coming out of your exhaust of the car. It's the same idea. You can tell a lot about the condition of the engine and many of the other components by what's in the gases coming out of the tailpipe of the car. Well, your body's like an engine. It's burning fuel, creating energy, it has waste products that need to be eliminated, etc. And by examining those, you can ascertain whether or not things are properly tuned and running well inside the body. So those are some simple things that we've given tonight that if people just put them into practice, you would be amazed. I know many years ago I read an article when the wars were being fought over in the Middle East. And I believe the gentleman was either Iranian or Pakistani, and he was arrested. I believe he was Iranian, and he was arrested by the beast that was in charge at that time. He was a doctor, and he was thrown into prison. And the prison conditions were terrible, obviously, and many, many people were sick, dysentery and all kind of illnesses in the hospital. So this doctor went to the people running the prison and said, look, I want to help these people. I'm a doctor. It will make your life easier if everybody is not in here deathly sick and vomiting and all this other stuff. And I'll help make them better by you just giving me access to clean water. He said, I don't want anything else. Just give us access to clean water, to bathe in, to drink, to cook our food, dress our wounds, etc. And he went on to tell the story about how things improved in that prison by that one simple thing, getting access to plenty of pure, clean water to drink, to bathe in, to dress the wounds, etc. So it doesn't have to cost a ton of money. It doesn't have to take a lot of exotic things to make your travel through this life much more enjoyable in a healthy body versus what the normies look like out here today. I see young people walk by all the time, and it's, I just shake my head. I mean, it's not like I'm Charles Atlas, but compared to a lot of these younger people, it's just amazing to me. So, again, we want our family to survive. What happens to the normies? That's what happens. I mean, you can't lead a horse to water and make him drink. So you can tell people the truth, and you can lay the gift on the table, as my naturopathic doctor says. I can lay the gift on the table, but what you do with it is up to you. And that's all we're trying to do, is laying a gift of knowledge on the table, and what people do with it is completely up to them. So any more thoughts on what people can do to not only make their life better, but help turn this situation in this dark, dismal world around? I yield.
Yes, I'd like to say something, or I'd like to ask something. Well, first of all, saying something is the best way you can maintain your health is to stay away from doctors. And another thing is, after listening to Jeremiah today, I am totally impressed. And I would really like to know what would anybody who is looking for a naturopath, what would they look for if they wanted to find one? Because that I wouldn't know how to do.
Jeremiah, you want to answer that?
Yeah. Honestly, for that one, it's hard to say, because I've dealt with naturopaths several times in my life, and then from the things I've studied, I've come to almost the conclusion that even a lot of naturopaths you cannot trust these days, especially if they are considered licensed naturopaths, because that means they went to a medical naturopathic college, and there's only 8, and all 8 of them are owned by one entity, and we all know who owns that one entity, Jews. So now naturopaths today, if they are licensed, certified by the medical board, they get trained almost like a doctor. Now, they do help you with diet, but they still don't believe there's a cure for cancer. They still don't believe there's a cure for diabetes. And they want to prescribe antibiotics. They want to do some of the same things that a doctor does. So I don't have much faith in naturopaths anymore, because they're going to these colleges to get licensed, to be told how to do their profession by the same people they're supposed to be against, which is the medical board. And to find the people like me who get our education from books and being self-taught or going to an online school that will point us to different books to get our education, we'll never be registered and we'll never be licensed, because we're not wasting $100,000 to get basically a fancy degree to say that we're licensed by the state, so we're allowed to practice naturopathic medicine. Now, because of that, I, at least in my state, Pennsylvania, I can never legally call myself a naturopath, a naturopathic medical doctor, or doctor of naturopathic medicine. I could call myself, though, a traditional naturopath, or what I prefer, just a health coach. And to find people like me, there's a few websites. I could try to find them, because once I got my own personal board certification for my profession, I also got a list of what do you want to call it? a list of references for different organizations that will show you people who studied naturopathy who are not licensed, who did not go to a four-year medical school to get to be called a naturopathic doctor. But they're harder to find because, well, because the obvious, they're not out there. They're not, they are advertising, but they're kind of like hidden by the guys who have the fancy licenses and the fancy medical degrees, naturopathic medical degrees and stuff like that. So what I would call a true naturopath is becoming harder to find, one, because they really don't exist. And those who do exist, who do a good job, either end up, for some reason, shooting themselves with shotguns, love to know how that happens, or they suicide, or they just vanish.
Yep, good point.
That's
well, you know, yeah, naturopaths are like any category of people on Earth. There's good ones and there are bad ones. And people have to take some responsibility in being able to determine who they're going to use. It's no different than if you go to get your car fixed, it's your job to find a good mechanic. It's not somebody else's job. And trust me, I'm frustrated trying to find good mechanics today because most of the professions are run by retards. Incompetent and lazy and not very well trained, no matter what profession you're talking about. So you're going to have to do a little bit of work. But just like Yeshua said, judge people by their fruits. Okay, what are the fruits of the person? Do they have the spirit of Yahweh in them? Do they care about the truth? Do they care about humanity and people's condition? And also, what's the fruit of their ministry, which in this case is health? Are there people happy with them, people that are getting better, their lives are turning around, or not? But people are going to have to do some due diligence. You can't just go to a Yellow Pages and look it up and see ND behind somebody's name and think, just like with MD behind their name, that just that those two initials is enough to guarantee you're going to get treated well. That's just not going to happen. You got to do a little research. You got to do a little digging, maybe asking around the neighborhood, take a look at the people coming into the office and leaving the office, etc. The best thing I ever found for finding a good naturopath or even a good car mechanic is word of mouth. People I know and trust, who are they going to get their car fixed? Who are they going to get their body fixed? Who are they going to get their hair done? Who are they going to for any kind of information and or service? Word of mouth is probably the best networking way to find successful people and people that can probably do you some good. But there is no one answer that fits everything. There's no broad brush that covers all the different scenarios. So people are going to have to get off their butts. They're going to have to stop playing games and thinking life is a just big joy ride. They're going to have to do a little digging, do a little bit of work. Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, I was going to say that this gets to the importance of conferences like what you're hosting here, Dan, and what I've been hosting. We need our community of people that is binding together by God's Holy Spirit of truth and justice, and that increases the credibility of the source of our information. And whether or not a person embraces the term naturopathic doctor or not, if I would say the primary thing in answer to Ella's question there is attend Dan's weekly conferences if you want to contact a good naturopathic doctor. The short answer is you don't really need somebody that's labeled a naturopathic doctor. What you need is wise, righteous counsel from God-fearing people. And that can happen in any assembly of righteous, godly people, and especially what the conference is here with people like Kumri and Ella and Dan. Even if one of us isn't here, The others can probably answer your questions real well. And if we can't do it that week, then next week the person that's missing will probably be here, and maybe they'll have an answer too. So it just underscores the necessity, because the problems with our health that are trying to be addressed with naturopathic doctors, that's just one part of the larger problem of administration of justice for all of our people, and getting back to the land and becoming empowered to responsibly self-govern in all of our own communities. So it's just part of a larger problem and issue of being obedient to God's laws and to assembling ourselves together on a regular basis and filtering out the forked tongue liars and deceivers, and just elevating our conversations to a higher level so that we're in tune with God's Holy Spirit and His natural laws in all of the people in the communities that we assemble with. I yield.
I think you're absolutely right, Charles. I think this is the first conference I've ever attended where I have not found anything to say against anybody saying anything. I think that's wonderful, and I learned a lot. And it's just a shame to me that there are those in our family that don't want to come to these conferences, and they say, well, I'll listen to it later on. But that's not participation, which is what we're doing right now. We're learning about each other. We're learning how each other speaks. We're learning each other's ideas. And we're not fighting with each other. We're just adding to our own knowledge. And that's what family does. It doesn't mean we're always going to agree with each other, but we have the right to argue with each other and just come to a conclusion from the arguments. I think that's great. Thank you, Charles, and thank you, Jeremiah, and God bless you, Dan, for doing this.
No, thank you very much. I wanted to ask if anybody wants to put out any contact information. You don't have to, but in case somebody that listens to the archive of this, et cetera, if they would like to speak with you or email you with a question or maybe even possibly consult with you, whatever, do you feel comfortable putting anything like that out, or would you prefer that anybody listening that has that kind of desire to communicate, they can go through me? They can send me an email at pastordan.net. And then I would forward it to you guys, and you could get a hold of them. So,
I think having my email address is posted there on the attendees, I welcome anybody to email me at any time. As for telephone calls, I have a rather strange schedule, so I don't think people would. Now, see, I used to work a schedule where I did not go to bed till around 4 in the morning. And I usually sleep till around noon, and I still do that. So if you call me at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be in la-la land. But if you call me at 2 in the morning, I'll probably be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to talk to you. So my email address is the best way for anybody to reach me. Anybody who wants to, it's fine with me. I'd love to hear from Jeremiah, or, well, I hear from Charles, and we know each other's email address, I believe, and I know Dan's. But my telephone number is generally, if I'm not awake, you're not going to get me answer anyway, so it doesn't matter. I yield.
Do you mind if I give out your email address?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. I'll give it to you using the military version of letters here, so it's Alpha Victor Mike Alpha Kilo Victor Echo Roger Alpha at gmail.com. So that's AVMAKVERA at gmail.com. Charles or Jeremiah, do you want to give anything out, or would you rather not? It's up to you.
I posted mine in my email and three phone numbers in the chat window there, Brother Dan, and you can articulate it verbally if you like.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the people that listen to this.
Listen to this.
You need to.
You need to mute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Because it was feeding back. Anyway, people that listen to the archive are not going to see anything in the chat. So, Charles is Charles Stewart. He's in Texas at Central Time, and the landline that he uses. And again, this is a landline here now. Is area code 325. Again, that's 325, and the phone number is 603-0334. Again, that is 603-0334. And I'll go ahead and give the email, and it's charles@constitutionalgov, as in government, so constitutionalgov, G-O-V, dot U-S. So that's Charles's. We'll give Charles's out. And Jeremiah, do you care to share yours, or would you prefer not to? It's up to you.
Yeah, if you want to give it out, you can. I'm currently driving at the moment.
What are you asking me to give out, lad?
My email. Not my phone number, but my email.
Okay, your email address here. All right, so let me go grab it. So give me a second here. So I don't have it memorized. So a second here. Open up my little directory. Okay, so this is for Jeremiah. If you would like to talk to a board-certified health coach, and the phone number is 570. Again, that's area code 570. 520-8905. So again, area code 570, and the number is 520-8905. And I believe that's a cell phone. So for anybody, again, would like a consultation about health in general. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and then close this out with prayer, folks, since we're over an hour now, and I thought a lot of great information in a short period of time, which is the best way to get information out these days. People don't have much of an attention span, and their busy schedules, they don't have much time. So you want to get as much info in as short a period of time as possible. Any last comments, Ella?
No, not really, except yeah, bless all, and thank you so much, Charles. About the juices was really important, and that really stuck with me, so I'm going to be doing that, because I just love those sweet things, and those juices sound like a perfect solution to my sweet tooth. Thank you so much, and thank you, Jeremiah, for all you told me, too, because in spite of all my knowledge, there's still some lacking in me, and that's what you're there for. Thank you again.
Yeah, it's like I said, every day of my life I learn something new. I've been walking this earth for quite a while, and I'm still learning every single day. Jeremiah, any final comments? I take it you don't. Charles, same with you.
Any final?
I just one real quick digression. I just learned from a source, a guy, a Jew named Cohen. He wrote a book named The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. He's now a professed Christian. He says the Roman Catholic, as a result of Charles' coronation, the Roman Catholic Church is merging under the secular human government of the King Charles. He says King Charles is the Antichrist, and so the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church that controls all of Freemasonry, they're coming together to establish a new world order. It's really alarming developments, and of course there's high level rabbis in England that were in attendance on that coronation, and they're all bowing down to King Charles, it looks like. So there's some developments there in the background that I wanted to make y'all aware of. That's about all I got for right now. I yield.
What was the name of that book?
The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. The name of the author is Tim Cohen, and he's got a number of excellent YouTube videos. I can pass them on to you in email here a little bit later this evening if you want to distribute them further.
Sure.
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay, very good.
Okay, very good.
All right, we'll close it out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth through the modern technology that you've made available to us. We pray that we can be of help and assistance to all of mankind. They live in an ocean of lies and deception and disease and evil in this day and age. These are the perilous times you warned us about. We just pray that you would use us, your servants, to be a shining light in this dark world and help us to walk the narrow path, be a good witness to all those around us, and help all those that wish to be helped by leading them back to you, because you are the source of all truth and justice in this world. It's your creation, and we know that nobody is going to make it without you. So if we can get people to repent and change their ways and come back under your direction, then this will be a much better world in a very short period of time. To that end, we ask you to walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.